The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go to the guest hotline. Welcome onto the show, Mike Golic Jr., who joins us now on Grant and Danny on The Fan. Excited to catch up with Mike Golic Jr., courtesy of DraftKings Network. Mike, why don't we start with last night's game? The Lions end up beating the Packers. Who did we learn more about last evening, Detroit or Green Bay?
God, it feels impossible for it to be Detroit, but at the same time, I think it is them just because we continue to learn what they're capable of doing on defense when pieces keep going down. And we've seen it since Aiden Hutchinson went down and they almost had to completely rework their defensive identity, going to a more blitz-heavy approach that I think kind of reached its peak last night. They ended up blitzing on just over 62% of dropbacks against Green Bay. And so much of that certainly led by a robust secondary and those guys. You had Aleem McNeil go down to the defensive line, and they still just keep finding a way on that side of the ball because the fourth down stuff at this point, that's par for the course. We know that comes with Dan Campbell. But I think my biggest worry for them going forward was what happens defensively if they keep losing more bodies. And the answer for them is we're just going to keep throwing more people at the quarterback and hope good things happen.
Mike, I want to go down a level with you, too, here in a moment, but one more up at the NFL. We know the teams at the top of everybody's power rankings in some order, you know, Buffalo, Philadelphia, Detroit, who we're talking about now. Who's somebody, and I guess Kansas City obviously deserves a mention, but who's somebody that's kind of lurking to you that's more dangerous maybe than meets the eye, not getting enough attention right now?
Well, I mean, I do think that Green Bay team that the Detroit Lions faced last night is one of those teams that, you know, we went through the stretch early in the season where Jordan Love got hurt for a little bit. And, you know, Matt LaFleur, give him credit, went out there and made chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what, redesigned their game around Malik Willis, and it paid off pretty strong. They dealt with other key injuries. Jaire Alexander was still out last night, but that's a team that I think still, by and large, protects the quarterback really well, strong offensive line. Josh Jacobs has been one of the best free agent signings, along with Xavier McKinney on the other side of the ball defensively. And, hey, Detroit's offensive line is probably the best in the league, even with Dan Skipper holding it down at left tackle. And they went out and held it down last night, but still got challenged by a defensive front that's been emboldened by Jeff Hafley coming over there in Green Bay. And so I think that group, especially with Jordan Love, some of the throws he made late in that game under duress into tight windows, like they did last year, getting hot at the end of the season, they're going to have a chance against almost anybody when it comes playoff time, I think.
Mike, if the Lions played the Eagles on a neutral site next weekend, who would win that game?
I would probably still favor the Lions just because offensively they're so versatile right now. But Philadelphia, especially when they've got Devonta Smith full strength, and if we assume that in part of this, that offense can make football really simple in a hurry. Another one like Detroit, great offensive line. And I think the biggest difference between these two teams, if I were to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to give the offensive potential, the coaching edge to Dan Campbell right now, defensively, Philadelphia's got the far better group. they're certainly healthier. But then on the high end, they've got so many young guys that Vic Fangio's gotten ready to play in a hurry, from Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean in the back end, to the entire Georgia team from 2021 that's now made their way to Philadelphia. I think it's 1A and 1B with those teams right now. And I think certainly going towards the postseason, it really is just going to be about who's healthier at the right time between the two.
Mike Golick Jr. with us here on G&D. Let's go down to the college football rankings here, Mike. Right now, I think I've got this right. You can tell me if I'm wrong. By the byes for the first round of what the playoffs would be, that's assuming some conference champions, et cetera, Oregon, Texas, SMU, Boise State. How many of those four end up with those byes, and how many maybe drop out?
Whew, I would say right now, the way I have it going into conference weekend, I would have two of those four making it through. I think Oregon wins. I think Georgia ends up winning the SEC championship the same way they won in the regular season against Texas. So the Longhorns would still be in, but Georgia would be the one getting that automatic bye. And then I think Clemson has a chance to sneak up on SMU. We saw the way SMU fared against the defense that was the best one they faced at Duke earlier this season, turned them over a bunch, made it really difficult. This Clemson team can get after the quarterback, and you look, the average third down distance for SMU this year has been over 7 yards. Third and long is not where you want to be, even against this version of Clemson with what they've got up front. I think Lenora Sellers managed to wiggle his way out a lot of that last week in the South Carolina game that they got that win in, but I know Jennings and this SMU offense have been really good, but I just don't know if the physical step up in class that Clemson still represents in this conference, combined with the fact that Dabo's 8-1 in ACC championship games, now getting ready to go to his record-setting 10th ACC championship spot, they're comfortable here, and I think that comfort could pay off.
Mike Golick Jr., DraftKings on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Mike, I'm sure you heard all the blowback like I did about Miami being on the outside looking in, two losses, Alabama being right where they want to be, three losses. Did you have any problem with that?
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I understood it, especially for Miami. Listen, Miami, I look at a lot like, listen, my alma mater in Notre Dame this year, sort of the same story. Hey, you got a really easy schedule that lines up well if you want to make the expanded playoff. Even if you're a team like Notre Dame who couldn't make those, one of those top four seeds because you're not in the conference, the schedule worked out well. Notre Dame cashed in their one chip at the beginning of the season with a terrible loss to Northern Illinois, but then they did what they were supposed to. They blew out everybody that was worse than them, and then they managed to win the rest of the games. You beat a USC team that was a little bit live at the end of the season, and you survive in advance. For Miami, what did you do? You went out and lost two games late in the season, one to a Georgia Tech team that's a solid team, one to a Syracuse team that's an actual good team, but all along the way, rode the tightrope against the rest of the ACC and what's seen as a down year for the conference. Miami played way too many close games, way too many games where all of a sudden at the end of the game, you got to have your great quarterback Cam Ward bail you out a little bit. And I think the committee looked at that and said, yeah, we feel like they've been getting by, paying off one credit card with another. And so when the losses came, they were a lot less willing to be forgiving than a team like Alabama, who's at least got good wins to point to. And I think that was the biggest message the committee sent in the first year and the first batch of rankings we've seen so far, is good wins are going to carry you a lot further, unless you're in the Big Ten of the SEC, than bad losses are going to hurt you for these three-loss teams especially.
Mike, let's jump back up to the NFL super quickly. We were missed. We're here in D.C. What do you think of us?
I have been very impressed with what Washington has been able to do, a very Texans-esque one-year vibe shift in the organization led by Dan Quinn and certainly by JT Daniels. At quarterback, as of late, I've been a little worried. Jaden Daniels, just ever since the rib injury, there's been some things that haven't looked quite right. I know that got a little bit better here recently. But overall, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about with this team. I think the offensive line's been a great story, kind of like we've talked about in Arizona with the Cardinals. This is a team that, yes, the quarterback is certainly going to be the draw because of the skill set. But they've been able to beat people up front, clear out space for these running back rooms. And so I think there's a great foundation to build upon here already after year one for Washington.
Would you take the Chiefs to come out of the AFC as a three-peat contender, or Do you like Buffalo or even Pittsburgh, anybody else, more than them at this point? Like, how many teams would you have beating them?
Yeah, I think, you know, we know the obvious hang-ups in the postseason that a team like Buffalo has had with Kansas City. And so even factoring that in, I'd still probably take Buffalo to be the one coming out of the AFC right now. They make football really easy, kind of like we talked about with the Eagles before. When you can subsist on a ground game and a great offensive line that can go straight downhill and get after you, a quarterback in Josh Allen who's taken that Mahomesian-like step. Remember when Mahomes and the Chiefs lost Tyreek Hill, it was Pat that was able to offset that by being worth so much on his own. Josh Allen, it's been the same story this year. As the rest of that receiving core has started to come into shape late in the season, get more reps under their belt, it's been Josh Allen helping make those guys better the way one time Stephon Diggs had to help Josh Allen get better by being an easy access guy and a guy that could get open for him. And so I think you couple that with defensively what Sean McDermott's always had going on that side of the ball. Greg Rousseau has had a monster year for them at defensive end, getting after opposing quarterbacks. I think right now you'd have to look at them. And I would say maybe on their best day, Baltimore. I still have some wonders about Pittsburgh's offensive line. Can they hold up in the postseason? Can Russell Wilson really go toe-to-toe with some of these offenses in clutch moments at this point in his career, even though that defense has been lethal and that rushing attack has been one of the better ones in the National Football League?
Mike, great to chat with you, man. Appreciate the time and have an awesome weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Enjoy Mike Golic Jr.'s work over at DraftKings. Appreciate him hopping on. Grant and Danny.